You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast.
Joining me this week from his very own dungeon is John Baxendale, your favourite umpire and mine. John, how's things?
Hello, Matt. Yeah, all good, man.
Good stuff. And we're just going to do some nice little conversations to wrap the year up with and just talk to some people who want to come on the show and talk about their 2023. And it's fair to say that you probably had one of the most eventful 2023s that we can remember. So, John, how has your 2023 been?
I think a lot of people know how a lot of it's gone. It seems to become a bit of a media darling throughout the course of the year.
I'm not going to lie to you, mate. I'm pretty upset that you're not wearing the outfit today.
I think once in a year is enough for everybody. It's chaotic, surreal, really enjoyable. What a great load of fun. And it's only just getting going by the look of things.
Indeed. So let's go back to then to probably the highlights that people remember for now is when you and Bleace ended up going to the World Baseball Classic. So that happened really quick from my memory. We were just chatting one day and then the next thing you know, there were flight books and you're off to Arizona. What are your memories of the whole lead up to it and then actually going to it?
So I think it all started with the qualifier. And we were obviously, everyone was tuned in and kind of getting more and more into it. And obviously, fantastic result, amazing work by Drew and all the coaches, and especially the players. And then I can't remember where we were. I've met up with Blaze at some point, and I just said to him, oh, what do you reckon? Do you want to go? And he was like, oh, no, I don't think we can afford it. I don't think we can afford it. And I was like, yeah, but if we looked at it, and the more and more we talked about it, it was like, you know what, it's going to be, it's only ever going to be the first time they get there once. And we just decided that, you know, for what it was, we had to be there. Obviously, we've been to Phoenix before when we've been out there playing a few years before. So we knew the area. So we started looking. First thing we did was get some flights booked because they were going up by the day. And then we had a bit of a struggle, a battle as such for accommodation. I had a really nice little apartment booked, and the guy messaged me just to find out what we were coming out for, and I foolishly told him. And the next day, lo and behold, I get a message from booking.com saying that the booking's been cancelled. Unfortunately, they double booked. And a few weeks later, I went back on, and it was more than four times the price. So the guy stitched me up big style there. But we managed to get a little apartment, little flat, and we stayed there. It was awesome. So it just kind of evolved and grew legs from there. And then obviously we started talking about it, saying, oh, well, how are we going to make this one a bit eventful? And so, well, we could dress up, you know, we could get like Union Jack stuff. And we looked at the suits. That was always the plan, the suits, and maybe a couple of other bits. And then I think, for a joke, I think I sent him a picture of the Jerry Halliwell dress on WhatsApp, saying, oh, I found this on Amazon. Yeah. And it was kind of, oh, yeah, we're not going to do that. And then the closer it got, it was like, you know what? It would be a laugh. And so the rest, as they say, is kind of history.
You ended up wearing that Jerry Halliwell dress as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. So again, we had outfits for every game. So we knew we were going to attract a bit of attention, and we kind of had a bit of a bet with Drew, and we said to him, look, you guys win one, we'll wear these Jerry Halliwell dresses. And so obviously, yeah, after the elation of the Columbia game, you know, being there, it's like, oh my God, it was incredible. And we've won. And then the reality set in and dawned on us of what was going to happen the next day. But you know, you can't back down on a bet, and so we did it, and we pulled it off. Had a lot of fun doing it. I mean, I think I've said this to a few people over the course of the first three games. I think we probably took somewhere between 500 and 600 selfies with people, you know, and we got interviewed with the TV and stuff like that. On the day of the Mexico game, we got dropped off about 100 yards from the same pub we've been going in every single day, pub called The Crown, literally across the road from Chase Field, perfect location. It took us 20 minutes to get from the street corner where they dropped us off into the pub because we had to walk past this big taco restaurant that was just full of Mexico fans. I mean, they were there in their tens of thousands of Mexicans, so real party atmosphere. And they all came out, they all wanted pictures. And we think we probably took close to 500, 600 pictures just on the night of the Mexico game. So everywhere we went, it just took people just stopped. And once one person stopped you, another person was like, "Oh, me next, me next, me next." But I look back, I wouldn't change it for the world. We had a fantastic time.
To say, like, did you feel intimidated at any point being like two standout Brits in a sea of other nationalities? But it sounds like you were quite welcomed by pretty much everyone that you met. I mean, we all say we all. I was following you from home on social medias, and it didn't seem like you were getting any grief or any trouble or anything.
No, I mean, all the way through we had pictures. You know, there's good bits of banter and stuff like that. But you know, the first night of the US games, we bumped into a load of guys who were wearing like Civil War uniforms, and you know, we're having pictures and stuff like that all through it. Yeah, I mean, the night of the dresses. I mean, I don't think I could probably explain how much beer we drank in those sort of 4 days. It was a real necessity for the last day, that's for sure. The only time I felt a little bit intimidated was after the game, and we came back out the stadium and we started walking towards back towards the pub, and we just suddenly happened to walk through this huge crowd of Mexican fans just partying, and we ended up in the middle. And things were getting pinched and slapped. At one point, they tried to pick me up, and I'm like, "Nope, got very heavy very quick." And I'm like, no, that's enough. That's enough of that." But there was never anything nasty about it. Everyone was getting excited. Everyone was happy. You know, it was a fantastic atmosphere. The WBC is amazing. It really is. The whole atmosphere, the whole time, fantastic.
Brilliant. So, what's your top tip then for anyone that's going to go to the WBC or following GB abroad? If you've not had a chance to go and see them, what would you advise that they do?
I would definitely say if you're going to go, get there early. Get to the venue. Sorry, not get there early. Get in country early and go see the warm up games. Go see the minor league games. Try and take in a bit more baseball as much as you can while you're there. That was a great experience. We got to, you know, went to the training fields at the Brewers. We're chatting with the players and stuff like that. Bleasy won't mind me saying he had his massive fangirl moment when I was talking to Trace Thompson, and I just shouted him over, and he came over and he was like, "Oh, can I shake your hand?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, no worries." Baseball players are the nicest people in the world. Just go and talk to them. They really are. Don't worry too much about buying the best seats. I mean, we had our 4 game strip of seats. Sorry, a 10 game strip. We had tickets to every single game, way up in the gods. And I think the only game we sat there was the USA Mexico game, which was a complete sellout. Most of the time, you can just bounce around the stadium, pick up a seat here and there. The dress up, that's the other thing. Dress up, get yourself noticed. Like I say, we ended up in corporate hospitality seats. We
Wow.
were under the stands. I got a nod of appreciation from Mookie Betts because he was taking hacks in the batting cage and he saw me in the suit and he just looked at me, smiled, nodded his head, and carried on taking his cuts. Just go out and have fun. Just go in and enjoy everything. Don't care what people think. because you really will have so much fun. You'll meet so many interesting people. It's definitely recommended. However, if the next one is in if GB are going to Taiwan, maybe reconsider some of the dress. Perhaps don't go in the Jerry Halliwell one.
Yeah, that's good. Good tip. Read up on local laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to spend a few days in the slammer instead of enjoying the baseball.
Yeah, well, the night before the Jerry Halliwell dresses, we were, funnily enough, in the pub. And it was after the start of the evening game. I can't remember who was playing. I think we were going in. It might have been USA-Canada. And there was a load of US police guys all of a sudden came in, local coppers. And they were sitting, getting some dinner and having a coffee between all the chaos of people arriving and people leaving. And I went over and actually spoke to them. I said, look, you know, this is what we're planning to do tomorrow. Are we likely to breach any like decency laws or anything like that? They were like, no, as long as everything important's covered. I said, you know, you'll be okay. So yeah, I'd say check it out before you do it.
Pretty incredible that you can wear that outfit and get away with it abroad. I wore some pink hot pants and a blue sweater on a stag do in UK and got told to leave a Wetherspoons because it was a family restaurant.
Yeah.
I personally didn't see anything wrong with it. And no, I won't be putting a picture up for people to see. It's as bad as it sounds.
Yeah, there was people like almost throwing their kids at us to have selfies with us. It was beyond surreal. It just got to a point where it was just getting so ridiculous at the end. It was great. It's really hard to describe it, but it really was fantastic. Obviously, getting into the stadium and within 5 minutes of sitting down on our seats, we're on the big screen and they're pumping Wannabe out over the sound system.
So, I bet everyone loved you for that one.
We did the only thing we could and got up and danced. So.
And asking for a friend, how did that conversation go with your better half to just drop everything and leave the country at such short notice to go and watch baseball?
I think it's like normally most of my baseball conversations like that. I just have to ask nicely and put a valid reason behind it. I don't know how I get away with it because that's 2 years running. I've done a ridiculous baseball trip and not had to suffer for it.
Well, you're the envy of many a person, I suppose. I'm going to bring it back domestically then. What was that like for you this year? How's baseball been in Britain for you?
Busy with the umpiring. Did quite a few games. I had quite a bit of European umpiring this year as well. So I didn't do as many games at home as I had done the previous year, primarily because it clashed a lot with being away. But mainly NBL stuff this year. I did a few games for Liverpool.
Yeah.
There's good things, there's bad things. We're starting to see a lot of improvement in some of the teams. The level of competitiveness, I don't know. I don't think it's improved. I don't think it's really gone down much. But weather was a big factor this year. We lost quite a few games to weather. So, it was good. I've enjoyed this year.
Whereabouts in Europe did you end up going then?
So April I went to Prague. I was working the Pony Europe and Africa qualifier. So that was U14 and U16. That was fantastic. The facilities out there are just incredible. That was 4 days, 5 days out there. That was good. I was lucky enough to be assigned to the Confederation Cup, which was in Karlovac in Croatia. That was a good tournament. That was really high. I mean, that's the second highest European club tournament. So that was a great standard of baseball, and I must have done something right because I got the gold medal game. I got home plate for the gold medal game.
Ooh, nice.
And unfortunately, the game itself was a bit of a letdown. It was very one-sided. It was Tenerife Marlins against Savigny Lions from France. Tenerife are just a different level. The guys that play for, I mean, they're virtually semi-professional, some of those guys. The starting pitcher was throwing, I think someone clocked him at 93. So it was a bit one-sided, but all the games we worked in that were really good. Met a whole bunch of new umpires that I've not met before. Fortunately, there was a couple of guys that were there that I knew as well. One of the guys, a Dutch umpire that I'd met last year at the Women's European Championships, and the Belgian umpire, Nathan, I went to umpire school with. So it was good. I really enjoyed my time out there. I got to work with a really fantastic Italian supervisor who was just brilliant, really helped my game while I was there. And then came back, had a few weeks at home, and then trotted off to Poland to go and do the Little League Europe and Africa qualifier as well. So again, met a bunch more new umpires, really enjoyed myself. Very, very different experience. It's an interesting tournament. There was all kinds of different feelings while I was there. There was a team from the Ukraine. Brilliant, really nice, lovely kids.
Yeah.
They had two female coaches and a very, very old bus driver because men of military age and not allowed to leave the country at the moment.
No.
So these two ladies did a fantastic job with the kids. And it was amazing. It was really quite humbling because you get to see these kids just playing baseball and being kids. And then when you start thinking about it, and then when you see them go off at the end, and it was like, oh yeah, they're getting on a coach and they're driving back to a war zone. They were from, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was right down in the south, not far from Odessa, where there was a load of problems around that time, stuff like that. So it kind of puts everything back in perspective.
Yeah.
We also took a trip while we were there. There's an orphanage in Kutno, in the town where it is. And it's been supported by some of the umpires that have been involved with Little League there for 25 years. So they took us there and we went to meet the kids and we had like an afternoon tea with them and sat and chatted and played and just, yeah, again, real, really different kind of experience to what I'd normally be used to when it comes to umpiring and stuff like that. And again, puts your life into perspective a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was that like when you got back home? Did you need like a couple of days to sort of remove yourself from it? And I think because it's not a scenario I can ever picture myself being in, but then you never really know what happens until you're confronted with it. And to sort of think about what they were going through and the escape that the baseball is giving them, and then, like you said, then going back to a war zone, it must have been really hard to sort of, what can I say? It must have been a difficult thing to process, especially being a dad as well.
Yeah, that's it, you know. And yeah, you see, like I say, you get to see these kids and they're just, you could see just they were so happy to be there. And just playing on this, I mean, the facilities at Kutno are incredible. The field is superb, it really is. And yeah, just being able to just hang out with a load of other kids. I think there was teams from seven or eight nations. I can't remember exactly now. But they were getting to hang out with each other, just play and just do all sorts of just normal kid stuff. And yeah, and you come back and it does weigh on your mind a little bit. Obviously it takes a bit to kind of process it all and put some kind of, almost like a, trying to put some kind of justification, but just trying to reason with it all. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, I'm just wondering about, you know, you talked about those kind of three different places that you had that experience of working. Was there any particular things that you identified that you thought, oh, you know, we could be doing that, it's easy to implement? You know, particular things you get, obviously you're building your experience and you're and obviously going to different countries, they've probably got some really subtle different ways of doing things that you could, you know, incorporate into what we're doing here in the United Kingdom?
I mean, the biggest difference in all of those places is the whole kind of around the clubs, around the facilities. They have huge communities involved in the clubs. A really good example. So when we were in Karlovac in Croatia, there was three games a day. And I think the evening game was due to start at 5 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, 3:30, we just had this monumental downpour. Absolutely chucking it down. I was, where we were staying, we're about a 20-minute walk from the field. So quite often, if I had a morning game then an evening game, I'd walk backwards and forwards. So I'd walk back to the field. And I'm walking towards it. I'm just like, oh, there's no way we're playing. Get to the field. The infield is underwater. It's like, there's no way we're going to play this game. Rain stops. Sun comes out. All of a sudden, there's like 30 people on the field. They've got this thing at Karlovac where they have, there's a drain runs from the back of the infield. So out past second base, out to the edge of the dirt. Like a manhole with a drain runs all the way under the infield and runs out of the ground and to outside. The local fire brigade turn up, connect on their hoses onto this and start pumping water. There's people with brooms sweeping the water away, clearing it all up. That game started at 6:15, and at 4 o'clock you're looking at it going, this game is off. There's no question we're playing. And it came just from the number of people that in that Olympia Karlovac team club that were involved, and they all just got stuck in. Everybody got stuck in. It's funny because the coach for Valencia, he was just looking at it as well, and he says, if this had been in Spain, everyone would have just shrugged their shoulders and gone, "That game's off, go home." You know, it's and I think that's one of the biggest things. Clubs, and I've experienced it elsewhere. I've experienced it in Holland, different places. Clubs have huge involvement, not just from the players, but from the players' families and friends of the club and things like that. That's what we need to make club baseball in England bigger. Just need more people volunteering their time. I know it's difficult and it's hard. Everybody has busy lives, but that will be one of the biggest steps. You know, you always see the same people doing the same things. You know, so I'd say that's one of the biggest things we can take from it.
Community spirit. Everybody's pitching in
and
you know, making it happen.
It. If 50 people turn up 3 or 4 times a year just to work the field over, particularly, you know, end of winter, beginning of spring, and then, you know, you've got small crews that tend to the fields through the season. If everybody shares it out, the fields will stay in great condition and everyone has a better time.
Very true. I mean, you'll have to check out Manchester's Bright Field after a bit of a drizzle, get swim trunks on, you can have a Olympic diving competition there sometimes.
Yeah. Mental. Yeah, I mean, I know it's not always easy because ground conditions and location make it difficult, you know, I know where you're talking about, and it is very low lying, and the canals around there overflow frequently, don't they? But, you know, it's there's other things people can do.
Cool. Another domestic thing I want to talk about, for those that are not watching this on YouTube, John's got a nice bit of headwear on, a GB baseball cap. So it wasn't, only a couple of weeks from recording this, you were announced as the new ops manager for the GB women's baseball team. How did that come about, and what is it you're going to be doing?
So I've had involvement with women's baseball for quite some time. I can't recall if it was either 2009 or 2010, when I was still playing for the Robots. We started going out to a tournament in a place called Zoetermeer, which is about half an hour from The Hague in Holland. And it was either the second or third time we'd been. And all of a sudden, the Netherlands women, or the Netherlands ladies baseball team, They were there playing at the tournament. They were using it as warm-up practice for one of the World Cups that they were going to. I think it might have been 2011 that we met them the first time. And played against them, chatted with them, got to know the lady that was responsible for creating the program. Kept in touch with them for several years. When we were out, we were actually out on holiday in Florida in 2018, and the Women's World Cup was on at Space Coast Complex. And we just drove down there, and I surprised again Yvette and said, oh, hey, how you doing? She's like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, on vacation. Watched some of the games there. And then obviously when we came home a couple of years later, the WBL formed. And I've had involvement with it ever since in different ways. I did some umpiring for them. This last 2 years, I've been the umpire assistant director, so responsible for assigning umpires to the fixtures. Had loads of conversations with Doris. You know, we'd chat backwards and forwards. She'd give me a call, like asking about a rule or something like that, or how I felt about different things, what I thought would be. And then obviously last year was lucky enough to go to Montpellier for the Women's Euros. Mm-hmm. And I was there firsthand to experience what the team did and how incredible it was. It was very difficult. I've said this to a few people. Obviously I was there as an umpire, so I have to stay neutral. And I didn't get to work any GB games, which was probably good. But during that France game, I was kind of stood behind the little bleacher where all the GB fans were, and I was just pacing up and down, just like proper, really getting into it. The nerves were going and everything like that. Unfortunately, as we all know, it didn't quite pan out. But what they did was a tremendous, it really was the expectation. I mean, personally for myself, having seen women's baseball at an international level, I was like, well, they're going to go out, they're going to struggle. But Josh Taylor had said to me a few times, he says, don't be so sure. We've got a few tricks up our sleeve. And yeah, they produced it. So fast forward to this September. So again, another baseball trip. Fortunately, this time, this is how understanding my wife is. I managed to persuade her to go to Prague and Brno for the European Championships because it coincided with her birthday. So we actually took the trip. So originally, I booked tickets for the Thursday and the Friday, which were, well, the Thursday was Heather's birthday. And then the plan was, so we flew out on the Wednesday, and we got the train down to Brno. The plan was we'd stay in Brno for 3 nights, and then on the Saturday, we'd get the train back to Prague, have a couple of nights in Prague, and we flew home the Monday, all sorted. And then they went and beat the Czechs on the Thursday night, and it was like, they're in the semi-final tomorrow. This means they're guaranteed to play Sunday. And we undernarred, and we were like, should we just change our train and get a different hotel and we'll stay? And she was like, yeah, okay. So we ended up staying for the whole thing, which again was fantastic, absolutely amazing achievement. Get to hang out with the players and stuff like that and see the emotion and the level of effort that those guys are putting in. People say some very unkind things, going, oh, yeah, but they're not British. Believe me, those boys, every single one of them, were playing for the shirt. They really were. And whilst I was there, I got chatting to Pietro, who had recently taken the head coach's job. And I just said, look, you know, I've said to Drew for some time, I feel like there's something I can give to the national program. Let me know if there's anything I can do. And I talked about some of my experiences with the women's game and my work in the WBL and stuff like that. And the conversation continued when we got home, and then he said to me, look, I've got all my coaching roles filled, but we're looking for an ops manager. How does it sound? And I was like, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to do it. It fits in quite nicely with my work. It's a lot of the stuff I'm doing is very similar to what I do at work as far as logistics and coordinating things. So, yeah. And it's been a month or so of pure chaos. I'm so busy. I'm constantly emails. We have about 9 different WhatsApp groups that I'm involved in, trying to organise training venues, trying to make sure everybody's in the right place at the right time, looking for stuff for next season. We're currently planning a tour, which I won't go into too much at the moment. But yeah, and I'm loving it. It's brilliant. We had our first 2 indoor training sessions this weekend just gone, hence why I didn't go to the Bolton game. So we were in Leicester on Saturday evening and then back down in Surrey on Sunday. And I can tell you, they are a very, very special group of people. The effort levels, the commitment is just off the scale. So I've seen some of these people through the league and things like that, and they are working so hard. They're not just working hard in training, they're doing all their own work as well, at home with their own clubs. They're constantly chatting to each other. There's videos flying around on the WhatsApp groups of, oh, I've seen this drill, we should try this, and oh, I've seen that, and oh, this, someone sent this through. Yeah, incredible bunch, and I'm really glad to be in on the ground floor, because they are going to do something special. We've got 18 months, maybe 20 months till the next Euros. It was meant to be next year and they moved it to come in line with the World Cup and things like that, which was disappointing, but at the same time, it gives us that extra bit of time to prepare. And I tell you what, they are going to make the world pay attention. They really are.
Indeed. Through chatting with some of them, I know exactly what you mean when you're talking about a special group of people and also the determination levels. It's a different level. Different level, like you're saying. It's like an intensity that's going to make people sit up and take notice, like you said. So I'm very wary that we have a couple of minutes before you need to scoot. We were supposed to be joined by Coach Jonathan Cramman on his holiday in Nicaragua. He actually called into the chat. He was sat in a baseball stadium watching a game. So it was too noisy and the Wi-Fi kicked him out. But he did text me to say, hello. Well, there's more. What outfit will you be wearing when GB under-23s win a game in the under-23 World Cup in China in 2024?
Oh, now I guarantee I won't be there. That's one thing for sure. And even more, if I did manage to get there, I would definitely not be wearing a dress. I don't know. I'll have to have a think. But again, another special group of guys, really, really good players. So several of those players were in the from the U23s were in the full squad for the Euros. Yeah, again, keep an eye on those guys, because 5-6 years time, you know, LA 28, they are going to be hitting their peak. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with as well. I'll have to come up with something clever. I'll confer with Bleasy, see what his thoughts are on it.
I'm pretty sure the community will have some ideas for you.
Oh, maybe you can start a poll, Matt. You know, get people to send their ideas in and then vote on one.
I want to find some designers, like some university graduate that's looking for some practice bodies to do some fashion modeling design work on. You're going to be perfect for that. Get you kitted out in something nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Gilles, do you want to add anything before we bounce?
I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to hear what you've been up to, and you know, hope that next year is more of the same. So thank you very much.
Love it. And for those who are wondering who this voice is, this is Gilles Gardner. He's going to be helping out with some interviews next year. I'm going to take this opportunity now to thank a few people that stepped up to the plate. And it has been a bit of a struggle for me this year with content and getting interviews done. It has been really stressful with a lot of life things getting in the way. So I took the plunge and I said I needed help. I've got help in more ways than one. Gilles is going to step up and do some interviews. So if you hear from him, please be as kind to him as you have been to me, along with some other people throughout the British baseball community. This being a community podcast, you know, I want to give everyone the opportunity to come on and interview people that they want to. So just get in touch if you think there's somebody there you want to have a chat with. You're more than welcome to join us on the chat. If you want to arrange an interview and talk to someone yourself, just let me know. Let me see what I can do to help you out. I'll make that happen. John? Yeah, go. Bugger off.
Well, one last little thing.
Go on then, since it's you.
Since I've been in so many of these WhatsApp groups, the team will all vouch that I've been. It was supposed to be a dad joke of the day, and I've had to. It slips a bit. There are a couple of days that I've missed. But I get mixed reactions from these jokes. Obviously, I'm significantly older than most of the players, but I'm not going to hold that against them. But my favourite one, and one of the ones that I think has had the most reaction, and it is a good one. So I'll leave you with that. And it's a sheep, a drum, and a snake all fall off a cliff. Badum.
You're the worst.
I think it's brilliant.
I don't know what to say.
I can just see you shaking your head.
But that draw was terrible. It was supposed to be terrible. Right. I love you all and leave you all. Thank you very much again for your time. And thank you all again for listening and tuning in. Don't forget, let your friends know. Tell them where they can find it. If you don't know how to find a podcast now, you're doing something wrong. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of home devices you can talk to find this show. All the best, and I'll see you all soon. Take care.